Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how are we doing this morning?
Okay, believe it or not.
All right. Didn't sound
at least
like
until
it
I
early.
Well, I'm debating it until I go back outside.
You know, okay,
but I'm okay for now.
All
no
right,
question
very good.
About that.
Glad to hear that.
Okay, it is Saturday, April 17th, 2021, about 10:03 in the morning, and we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, then we'll be on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. live streaming. If you go to our website, sapriston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab. This is live streaming, and you should be all set. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived, and actually there's years of shows there. But if you do miss a show or you want to replay a show, once again, go to sapriston.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab. This is Chat and Archives, and click on Archives, and you'll be all set. And then finally, last but not least, every week there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy.
Right. I just wanted to point out, too, for those that look at it, there's a number of charts. The 10-year Treasury note for April 16th, they have incorrect. They have it as 188, it's 158. I picked that up just because I look at it just to see. But they talk about some of the tremendous economic figures that we had coming out this week. And, you know, the analysts, again, you and I always talk about it, how wonderful these analysts are. But the analysts missed it again. And this has not only been with, you know, the economic reports coming out from the government, but also their analysis of earnings. They were so far away on a lot of the bank earnings. Just unbelievable that they could be so far away. But good read, a lot of charts, easy to understand.
Okay. Right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. Very easy to get in right now. Lines are always wide open at this time of the morning. Once again, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And if for some reason you don't want to give us a call, don't like talking on the radio, whatever, we do have a chat box. You can go to sapriston.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab. This is Chat and Archives. Click on Chat, and you should be all set. Type in a question, type in a symbol. If you let us know for the symbol what you're looking to do with it, it helps us out. Right now, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. We'll go first to Vic in Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Vic.
What'd you do?
Good.
Get out of bed early?
I'm always up early. Are you kidding? Okay. Yeah, I'm always up. I've got a question for both of you, actually.
All right.
First question of Peter. The system you use, Pete, RXT, Raphael Xavier Tommy, what would be your drop-dead out point? I'm along the common and have been so for a while and got a good position. What would be your, looking at your charts in the boxes, where would be your out point? I've got a number in my mind. I was just curious what you'd say.
Okay, I'll take a quick look.
And this is Rackspace Technology, closed at 34.95.
Not 34.
24.
Oh,
no, I said 34. It's my glasses.
Believe it or not,
if it was 34.
Yeah, he's got glasses on. I don't, and I can see it was 24.
I'm a little happy now, but I'd be real happy if it was 34.
Right. I would say that if it's a drop dead one, you know, it would be below the 200-day moving average, you know. But if you're, you know, trading, you know, it would be below 22.96, which would be the 50-day.
I had 22.50. Okay.
Well, there you go. Right.
We're in the same boat here. Okay. Now, question for Dave.
Good, sir.
three buckets, Dave. First bucket's got a money market. Second bucket has a total bond fund. And a third bucket has New York Muni bond fund. Going out 2 years, total return. How would you rank them, best to worst?
Well, worst is money market.
Just a Vanguard, their best money market fund.
Yeah, no, I would think, and this is going on the idea that what we saw over the last several months, where the 10-year Treasury went from roughly a half, 0.75% to 1.75%, which was, I believe, mostly speculation, and that has now settled down, and people are realizing that the Fed's not going to do anything to raise rates. You know, the total bond fund is taxable. So are we throwing taxes into this thing at all?
Or? No, it's in a retirement account.
Okay, so you wouldn't buy a New York Muni fund
in a.
So I think it'd be a trade off between that total bond fund and the New York Muni fund for the best. And in last place would be your money market.
So you don't really think you're not concerned about a. Obviously, with the answer, you're not concerned about the rates just trickling up. No. Okay.
Well, trickling.
I'm asking for an opinion.
Yeah. No, trickling is not a problem. It's the sudden movement that really sets everything, into a tizzy. And that's what we saw. And now that's starting to calm down. So anybody that had bond portfolios, you know, if they looked at their statements in, you know, February and March, you know, they saw negative returns, the majority, unless they had an inverse or whatever. But, you know, it's starting to settle back now, down now. So
okay, now let me phrase it. Now in a taxable account, throwing out the money market, total bond versus New York Muni, more risks in what going out 2-3 years in your opinion? I'm putting you guys to work here today.
Yeah, you're making me think. I didn't even have any coffee yet. I would believe that the Muni fund would outperform the
total
bond fund.
New York Muni?
Yeah.
Yeah, New York's going belly up.
Well, he said only 2 years.
Okay.
So it's
probably
2 years.
Go belly up next year. But
right.
Anyway.
Right.
Do you think it would be a positive return?
Do I think so?
Yes.
Taking in the dividend, you're talking total return.
Yes, you're making money after 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, guys, thank you.
Well, thank you for starting us off. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good weekend. Okay, right now, give us a call. Phone lines wide open, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. I guess we're going to go to the chat box.
Boy, you are just full of vim and vinegar today.
Well, you're busy over there doing what? I don't know. But go ahead.
It's for me to know.
I know. I don't want to know.
Yeah. No. So we had somebody with a lengthy post, which I didn't have time to go into a number of the number of the links that he puts in, but he wants to know, he said, Ned Davis and Morningstar are publishing the value of adding small percentages of Bitcoin and entities holding / providing access to Bitcoin and competitors as portfolio diversifiers and enhancers. I recall Peter trying to buy a Bitcoin and not succeeding some time ago. There are transaction and holding costs, extreme volatility, and risk of loss. What does Peter recommend for ETF, ETN, or a fund for optimal access to cryptocurrencies? Again, there are a number of links.
Well, there's a number of them. But I am in one of them. It's called ETHE. It's a fund on Ethereum, which Ethereum, you know, once again, people don't realize coins doesn't really mean coins. It's wacky, but Ethereum is a transactional financial system, okay, which may eventually take over the banks and a lot of other things, okay, because it's a transactional system. It's just. And he, I would say
that's all you got to do is give a look and
no, I would say you'd better read up on this,
okay?
Because this is the future.
I don't have to. You do.
It's the future. Okay.
Very good.
Bitcoin's another transactional system. So it's not like you're speculating. You in a way you are, but you're betting on that their systems are going to be the systems that are going to run the financial systems of the world in terms of transactional speed, handling of transactions, authenticating transactions, so forth and so on. It's a new world in a financial system. So don't think of it as, oh, I got the stupid coin. You know, it's way different than that. Even though David, who's younger than me, rolls his eyes, you know. But anyway. I'm in ETHE. You can look up a whole bunch. Yeah. Grayscale's got a whole bunch of them. They've got a Bitcoin one. I haven't looked into
that. But what
that
is the key
one.
To this?
What
it's
is the
doing
key
your own research.
Exactly.
Because it's a very complicated
and that's
area.
What you should do. It's complicated, but once again, what people don't realize, it's not you're buying this coin. You're buying a financial system. It's like buying PayPal, okay? That type of thing, okay? It's not true of all the coins. You know, some coins have great things they're doing with their software and so forth, you mm-hmm. know. And there's some of them have dumb projects, you know. For example, Dogecoin or whatever you call it was put out as a joke years ago, okay? And it's still a joke. It does nothing. You know, they don't have a software system. They don't have anything.
Sort of like Seinfeld.
Right.
It's a show about nothing.
Exactly, you know. So you're not buying anything that has a system that will be used around the world. It's just a speculation joke.
Oh, I understand it now. No, I don't understand. I know, it's very complicated. It's well beyond anything
but it's
I can comprehend.
It's simple in the sense that Bitcoin has an operational, transactional, financial system. Bitcoin's a financial system. Ethereum's a financial system,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
That's very simple.
People
don't recognize, they don't know that, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I happen to have ETHE, for better or worse. One of the reasons I bought it, and you should check any of these to find out what the historical discounts and premiums are, okay? At one point, ETHE traded at a 600% premium years ago, okay? One reason why I got involved with it is that it was trading at the first time in history at a discount. It was a 5% discount.
It closed at 2370. Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah,
all right, just because I couldn't find it on FinFist.
I mean, the last time I checked, it was then at a 4% premium, so... My theory was, you know, Ethereum may be the number one coin eventually, you know, because they're coming out with Ethereum 2. You don't probably want to know all of this, but anyway.
I don't.
Ethereum 2 was supposed to be 100 times faster in transactional speed, that type of thing. And once again, do your own research in all of this. But my theory was, since it was trading at a discount, that it would go up faster than Ethereum itself. Which, by the way, has been on a tear, you know. But
right.
Okay, so that's enough of that.
So I, you know, the thing is, which is, you know, something new and it's quicker and mm-hmm. faster. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm younger than you, but an old soul mm-hmm. to the extent that I can go and try a Tesla, which is something new. It's not mm-hmm. a Corvette. It's mm-hmm. not a Jeep. So I can drive that and feel it and understand that it's a different technology. What you're talking about, it's so hard for me. And mm-hmm. this isn't just with this type of thing. This is with when my wife says, well, what do you think about painting this color? I don't have any idea. I got to see what the color looks like. That's just me. Mm-hmm. That's the way my small pea brain works.
Everybody's different.
So I don't want people thinking that I'm so down on it or that. No. I tell people I don't understand
it. And you follow the, who was it that said, I don't buy anything.
Peter Lynch.
Warren Buffett. I don't buy anything I don't understand. Right. Well. Yeah, I, right. And that's fine.
Thank you for putting me in that category. No,
there you go. I mean, yeah. Okay, give us a call. 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541.
That was a good discussion. I hope it was good for you.
And we're going to go to Jack in Lockport. Good morning.
Thanks for calling. This is like lunch, isn't it, Jack?
Oh, boy, I tell you. Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Listen, Pete mentioned that no one uses the toll-free line, or very rarely. I use the toll-free line today.
Oh, good.
Oh, really?
Reason is I have Verizon. I still have a landline, Verizon. And the bill is so darn high, I call them. They say, well, if you don't call long distance, you might as well get this other plan. So I get this other plan. So I have to pay for long distance. Well, long distance is any call outside of Niagara County. So
right.
Call Buffalo, whatever, for Pete's sakes.
Good old Verizon.
So last time I called you guys, it cost me $2.50.
Really?
It was well worth it.
I hope it was worth the $2.50.
I don't know if it was. I'm going to have to play back the show, see if I got my money's worth.
All right. Okay. And Jimmy should have put you on hold for longer, he says. So anyway.
And actually, I tell you, it's ironic. A call at Buffalo costs like 21 cents a minute.
Yeah. Really?
And my wife called St. Louis. It was only 12 cents a minute. Go figure.
Well, obviously, they don't think people in Niagara County, their odds are they're going to call Buffalo more than they're going to call St. Louis.
Must be, I guess. So. Anyway.
You're telling us that we should buy Verizon stock, I would think.
Well, I don't know.
They have a better idea.
I have AT&T because Willard liked it, and I kind of regret that. Although I wanted it myself, but I don't know.
Well,
what a great show. Yeah. I'll tell you.
All right. You know, you ever see these stocks for the day to go up, and a lot of dream stocks say, boy, I wish I had that one. They just fly one day and...
Yes.
Well, I happen to have that yesterday. I have RFP, Richard Frank Paul, the Resolute Forest products. And
you've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah, we've talked. Yeah, they have that fake wood or something, whatever.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They wood pulp and different wood products. It's a Canadian company.
Right.
They own about 40 plants in the United States and Canada. Mm-hmm. Well, geez, they went up $2.05 a share yesterday, mm-hmm. which was like 16%. So, and I was wondering, I couldn't find any news, and finally I happened to see something on the regular news that lumber is like double and triple.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just happened to hit it. I said, wow, I hit that one. I actually purchased it at a little over $4.50.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So I happen to hit it really.
Well, I would say, you know, the old cliche, would you rather be lucky or smart?
Right? Yeah. A little of both there, but
right.
probably luck more than smart. So I did well.
Some people aren't either, so.
Yeah.
Are you looking at anybody?
Just in my mind's eye.
Is Oxford Square Capital. OXSQ, Oscar Extra Sam Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be the old TICC Capital, TICC. And I purchased it at first in 2013, and I've purchased it all along. I'm actually in the hole, like about $3,700,
mm-hmm.
but I've received $6,700 in dividends.
Oh, okay.
So I net about $3,000.
Right, sure.
And the reason I mention it is that was an IRA account. I have a 401k. I sold some well, sold my Six Flags, just about broke even, and bought some more shares at his Oxford Square. I purchased at $3.96, and so I'm receiving about 10.5% dividend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing well. But I just want to see what you think about Oxford Square going on.
Well, what is this? You know, for some reason on the service we use, it says something about TICC Capital Corp to be acquired by TPG Specialty Lending.
This is something different. It's TICC Capital.
Yeah.
And they just changed their name to Oxford Square. I don't know if I thought it was just a name change. This is about in 2018.
Hmm.
March of 2018, they changed the name. So, like I said, OXSQ is the symbol.
Yeah, but does this mean they're being acquired, though?
No, they just changed the name.
Really?
And like I said, this was back in 2018.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know why this note's up here saying.
Unless something's going on now. I don't know.
I don't see anything.
I don't know. I don't know what that meant.
I'm
but
going
anyway,
back to July 31st, 18.
You don't see anything at all? Yeah,
announced okay. The result for the third yeah. quarter, yeah.
Yeah, it was March 18, I think, is when they changed names.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, you know, it made a beautiful long-term double bottom, okay, in the, you know, say, 2.25 area.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, after having gone from 2.25 up to 13 back to 2.25, you know, now it finally broke a down trend line. Your potential price objective, which it's at, is 5.5.
Wow, okay.
But... You know, with that major base breakout and everything, you know, you're in potential resistance at 5.5, so watch it closely, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, if it can get through this area, you know, potential's probably the 8 area.
Okay, that sounds good. But like I said, I get it mostly for the dividend. I get a mm-hmm. nice 10.5% dividend. And like I said, I've had the other for years, lost money, but you got that nice cash flow coming in.
Right, yeah. So, see, you know, who knows? You had a round trip, and you might have another round trip, and someday get back to 13. Who knows?
Yeah, well, when I first purchased it back in 2013, my first purchase was at $10 and something.
Oh, really? Yeah,
and
I see.
Then I got some 2 years later at 7-something, then 6-something, and 5 way down. So
did you buy any at 2-something?
No, I didn't.
They were going out of business at that point, right?
So anyway, I wasn't sure at the time. So
right.
Anyway.
I don't blame you.
Okay, well, that information sounds good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Jan.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Bye. Okay, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And what I was going to say, you know, we used to deal with Howard Ewerth,
mm-hmm.
years ago, okay, and you remember, you know, years ago, and he used to always say, buy companies that rip you off, so so obviously Verizon's making a lot of money, so anyway, and rip you off just means that they're getting exorbitant prices, you know, like
they're able to do things
like a Nike
legally, really,
or a Starbucks or something. It's not legal. I mean, it's just that people will pay.
It's not illegal.
They'll pay an exorbitant price, you know. And hey, so be it. We're going to go to Art in New Jersey. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear from you.
I always use a toll-free line with Optimum. You know.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, good to hear.
Yeah, and Jack
we pay to keep it in business.
yeah, and Jack is always great with some new ideas and new companies.
Oh,
always
definitely,
enjoy
hearing
his voice on that. First item I'm interested in is Bank of America. I've been holding that quite a while, and I see for the year it says it's up 74%, mm-hmm. but it was down on Friday. I know they had some earnings disappointments, I think, this past week.
Well, you know, I think it's sell on the news type of thing with all the major banks and financial companies over the last week. They, you know, they tend to come out with the earnings. They're great. Everything's good. And then people sell off, and then it starts moving back up. And close at 39.15. But great company turning around.
Yeah, and also, you know, the banks could have been a little hit because interest rates all of a sudden went down. You know,
right? Yeah,
and you know they've been going up with the rising interest rate, so might be just a temporary thing. I mean, it looks good. Potential price target for what it's worth on the charting method is 46.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know where you own it from, but you know, longer
about 15.
Yeah, so you know, longer term, you'd only reevaluate under 29.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is this type of bank different from the investment banks like Goldman Sachs?
Yeah.
Would it be a different category or type of bank?
Yes. Yeah, they're more retail-oriented. They do have trading, you know, but...
Yeah, we have Merrill Lynch, right? Because I deal with them also. That's
right.
Part of that.
Yeah, well, we don't like Merrill Lynch. But, okay. No, I'm just kidding. But they...
Well,
my cousin
is a broker with them, so I enjoy it.
Yeah,
that's okay. They bleeped you out.
Yeah, good. the new issue, Coinbase, which is up, I see it was targeted first to open at 250, then it said 350, and it wound up being down a bit toward the end. Mm-hmm. And also, you threw some cold water on my idea with that Dogecoin. And the reason I'm thinking of that is because of the low price, obviously.
No, I was almost going to try to buy it at 18 cents.
Right.
So and then the it week, took off and hit 40, yeah. I think.
For the week, it's 0.38, and it's up 0.25, or 190%.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, you got to realize what you're doing. That's fun money.
Oh,
it's casino money.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
There's nothing behind that coin whatsoever.
Right. Go to the casino and put it on red or black couple times.
But you saw what happened with GameStop, you know. And,
sure.
And, you know, those things can keep... A frenzy. It's a social media frenzy.
But Art's not a trader.
No. And Elon Musk comes out almost every day touting it, you know, which is, I don't know if he's just enjoying himself, having some fun, you know, but
sure.
Whatever.
Teach his own.
But,
because you can buy a
and
pound,
the interesting thing is, you know, I'm going to throw some more cold water on New York State, but you can't buy that here.
In New York.
Right.
Yeah,
and I don't know about New Jersey, you know, because I looked around at a different number of coin exchanges, and none of them can handle that particular coin. And plus, New York State is very
obnoxious with
regulations. You know, there are coins that have been accepted, and you can trade them in 49 states, right?
Yeah.
But not New York, okay?
Right.
And,
stricter requirements or stricter regulations?
No. I hate to say, I think it's payola. But anyway, I didn't say that. But, you know, if you grease their palms, you know, whatever,
come.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know, and they probably have people that don't even understand, like David, you know, what these things are. And they're going to try to...
I just don't waste my time on things that are ridiculous.
But anyway, you know...
If you want to get down
you know,
to
we all know New York State and anything. Liquor licenses, all sorts of stuff.
Right,
you know,
right.
I think they're...
I love New York.
They're power-hungry people, you know, and they like to...
I like New York.
They like to exert their power, you know, so...
Right.
Anyway...
All right.
Anybody who is in these businesses,
if I had a lot of money, though, I wouldn't live here.
No, yeah, right.
Because
One guy said to me, if XRP goes up to $100 each, he said, I'm out of here.
You know? Okay. Next item would be a difference between stocks that go listed with IPO, SPACs, or direct listing. What any particular advantage when you choose one rather than the other, or are you required to use one rather than the other for listing?
No, it's not required. And matter of fact, it's much cheaper, much less
IPO aggravation. IPO is the most expensive.
Yeah, it's the most expensive.
Right.
It's
right.
Very easy to do, you know, and you know, IPOs take all sorts of paperwork and stuff you have to do.
Disclosures, roadshows.
Stuff like that, right?
Right.
So it's easier for them to do. It's actually better, I believe, for the investor because you can get much better prices than you would have gotten if they came out as an IPO, okay?
Yeah, I see.
Because there's an IPO frenzy, you know. The SPACs, they come out, and a lot of times before, you want to get them before they do an actual purchase, okay? And then you have to really do a lot of research.
Yeah, because I don't have any. I tried looking at it. I couldn't figure it out.
No, but you
either.
Have to do a lot of research into the people behind it, their track record, so forth and so on. And... As I've said before, you know, supposedly there are studies out there that say that the biggest gains are made before they actually do the acquisition.
Right. Okay. And when they do the SPAC, the fees to the SPACee, or SPACer is huge. It's 15-20% that they make. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very expensive, and you don't have to disclose as much information as in an IPO. Right. The IPO is also expensive, but you just it's a lot easier, cleaner to do the SPAC. But, why they choose them, you just got to follow the money. So that's
last quick item. I know we all mourn the death of Bernie Madoff this past week, and they had a one-hour TV special. And it goes back to when he was first going to jail. They would show the particular printouts that people were getting as far as their statements for the their stocks and the capital gains and dividends. What I could never understand, two things. One, it was not printed on a letterhead type, though, like when Saperstein sends me something. I can see it's Saperstein paper. It was printed on a dot matrix printer with holes on the side, and it's just his name, Madoff, was at the top. So that would put a red flag up for me. And second, when the people file their income tax and they put down that they got these dividends and this interest on it from the 1099s, why didn't the IRS or the state decide that, gee, you really never got these dividends, you know? Why wasn't that picked up?
Well, it's not, you know, probably, I don't know. I mean, but I'm thinking that maybe the dividends were just left in the account, okay?
No, they were false. They were never gotten. There was never
any. No. They but they were reported.
But through the years, he did trades in that. It just, for the last number of years, he did zero trades, and he started making things up.
Right.
And you know, I don't...
People said they were getting profits, you know.
Well, it's
he was reporting to them profits.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I don't know what the restrictions were on getting your money out and this type of thing. Who knows?
Well, they would call them. I've watched a couple made-for-TV, HBO things on it. But, you know, they would call and certain people would get it and he would talk people out of it. You know, typical Ponzi, you know.
Yeah, I see. Right.
Yep.
Okay. Terrific. Wonderful day. Wonderful show.
All right. Thank you.
Stay healthy.
Thank you for the call. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks.
Phone numbers to the rest of the show.
Okay. Phone numbers to call.
1 minute break. Right.
How'd you know that?
It's coming up to a 10:30 ish.
There you go.
Willard's on the phone to him, telling him to tell us.
Take the break.
Bye-bye.
But right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Phone line's wide open. While we're waiting for calls, we will take that quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB, and an RIA. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541, and we'll take a chat box or two.
Yeah,
and
somebody
then go to the phone.
Somebody wants to know about DraftKings, Peter.
What do they
looking
want
to buy
know?
It? $57.98 is what it closed at. This is the gambling site, and interesting for people in New York because it's going. I think is it going to be legal in New York? I think they're talking about it. Right? Was it in the budget? I know you can get high, but I don't know if you can. I don't know. Anyway,
It had its big run up. You know, when it finally got up to 74, and kind of died at 74, pulled back now to the 57 area, and the 200-day is at 49, the 50-day is at 63, so it's below the 50-day. So. You know, if you were to buy this, and right now, you know, it has a take it for a grain of salt, really is, you know, the price objective based on the charting method is 41, which kind of makes sense, but it still is in a long-term uptrend. So as long as it stays above the 200-day, which is in the 49 area, and you've done your research and you feel, you know, comfortable buying this stock, you know, your risk is you'd have to reevaluate it at, you know, 49, and it's closed at 57. You know, not too bad. So if you feel really enthusiastic about it, you know, it's up to you, your risk tolerance, that type of thing. It could be a partial buy, you know, mm-hmm, at this mm-hmm. point. And then, like I say, you'd have to reevaluate it if it went to 49. And then what you'd be looking for if it turns back up is maybe a retest of that 74 area.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go next to, looks Jerry. Like Jerry in yep. Alden. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter and David.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hope you too are. You sound much highly spirited today.
That's a good way of putting it.
David yes. got me going.
I know the buttons
take,
to
that
push.
That doesn't take much.
No. Doesn't take much.
I want to ask about three different stocks. The first mm-hmm. one is DBN. I know David won't comment because it's an oil stock.
He will never buy an oil stock.
It's a new tobacco.
You know, the interesting part about this is, you know what's going on, that the rest of the world, you know, that's really still developing. Even India says we're not giving up on fossil fuels. And a lot of countries out there, what they're doing is, you know, we are causing a fire sale in the oil companies, and they're selling their assets cheaply, and all the foreign countries are picking up the oil, picking up this oil, you know, in the meantime. But anyway, it's some brilliant policies, you know, we have. But anyway.
Right. We go to electrical grid, and all our autos are there, and then we get a sabotage. I can just think of that.
Well,
and
I say the national electrical grid throughout the country is just as bad as Texas's that grid was, you know. Right. So, but anyway, whatever. Right now, you know, it's still got a price target on the point and figure chart of 45.5, and the 200 days at around 15, it closed at 21. 50-day, it's a little under the 50-day at 22. So, you know, are you looking at this kind of a...
I have some I'm looking to add.
Yeah. So basically, you know, if you... What did I say, the 50 days at 22? Yeah, you're right in that area. You might add a little at this point. You know, and then, like I say, the 200 days back at 15, but it looks like after the last breakout that, you know, support should still be in the 19 to 20 area.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it pays the dividend, which
yeah.
is
good. Yeah. And I think oil prices may be on their way back up there.
Okay. Next one, VTRS, which was a spinoff.
What is it, DT?
Victor Tango, oh, Richard Sam.
Close. That V always, you know, always get messed up on a V. I don't know why. VTRS, Viatris, Viatris Inc., whatever.
Medical supply.
Yeah, that's, all you can say about it is it's a Bottom Fisher special.
Nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, I mean, you're retesting a bottom it made in early
2019.
That is a long-term buy.
Are you having gummies this morning?
I don't know. Somebody might have been in here before us smoking something now that it's legal, you know. I don't know.
The alarms would have gone off.
But anyway.
It's been retesting that bottom for a while.
Yeah, the bottom was... 2020 is what I'm trying to say.
2020.
You know?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, as a speculation, hopefully you've done your research into it. You know.
Well, it is a business. Yeah.
It is a business.
I mean, they do have products.
Yeah. Right. And whatever the story
the
is.
The downfall seems to be that, but you know that happens so many times these spinoffs. First thing you see, all this debt.
Oh, this was a spinoff. But, yeah, right. Yeah, because that's how the company dumps its debt. Yeah.
But like CC, they take off.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't even want to think about that one. Because I remember after they sold it off, would it get down to six or something like that?
At least,
yeah. Yeah, that being the case, that does make it interesting. And, you know, in 2020, at least I got the year right this time, when it got down to 13, it went up to 19. It's back to 13. So we could say it's in a trading range between 13 and 19, you know.
Okay, great. The last one is OPK, which I've owned.
Mm-hmm.
And the insider, there's, again, insider buy, but it's kind of a limited officers always.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know their motives, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is one was a favorite of the trading rooms a year or two ago. You know, everybody was touting it. But it's been double-topped. Do you own it right now? Yeah, you did,
yes,
right?
Yes, I own it.
Yeah, it's at, you know, died at six twice. You know,
close it at 434 for those that don't.
Yeah, and what is the company's
well,
name?
Well, they do all that COVID testing.
Right, yeah. I mean, and every day a new one comes out, you know.
And they're into a vaccine or something, but you mm-hmm. know that
yeah.
a lot of these little companies are trying to do that in a vaccine. But
yeah, it's you know, Opco Health. I mean, it price target. Well, price target 16 on the chart.
I've seen that. But and I wondered.
But what I kind of like is you know made a high, made a low, didn't quite make a higher high at least in the point and figure chart. I don't know, and that. Six area in the last couple years has stopped it, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, it's made four tops in the six area. So if it ever gets up to 6.5, that price objective might not be far-fetched. It's above the uptrend line. So, and where are we? 438 on a 200-day. You're right on your 200-day. So you'd like to see it start turning up from here.
Always the dilemma, you know, it's hit six and you say, should I take my profit?
Right.
Because it goes bad.
Well, I would, it closed, what I say, it closed at 434. I'd reevaluate it at 375, you know, just to see what's going on.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for calling.
Weekend.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
You too.
Okay, we're going to go next to
Bill.
Bill, good morning.
Hey, Pete, where am I control data?
Control Data, they in business?
Remember that company?
Oh, yeah, that was a Nifty 50.
I was thinking about that.
Oh,
my
yeah.
God, that stock. Hey, Pete, I got to ask you a big question.
Uh-oh.
Listen to this now. The great Kathy, she's got a 4,000 target on TSLA, right?
Yep.
Kathy Woods, okay. You're
Kathy
talking
Woods
about
of Ark Investments, yeah.
So why the hell was she selling this week? So see, it's 750. Got a long way to go to 4,000, don't you think?
It does have a long way to go, but you never know.
Why are you selling?
The only explanation I've heard in anybody doing something like that is that it becomes they have a certain percentage of their total investment that they can have in any one position.
That's a good point.
So they, you know, I haven't heard that specifically,
but that's possible. But,
yeah.
Okay, let me peep. Let me tell you, I've been calling this show for 30 years. Listen to this, Pete. All the money is going to be made one way when Kathy rolls over. I mean the stock. When ARKK rolls over, you want to short that. Like we just had the racetrack, Pete. When you go to the window of the bell with two hands, you want to short that stock with two hands. All the way down to $1.50.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, you got a point. It will at some time.
If you look at those stocks, they've all had it.
Close at 124.
Yeah, I know, but it's bad. But let it rally. Let it come in to like 130, 133. I'm telling you, that stock doesn't act right. She looks like desperation to me, buying Coinbase, million shares. I don't know. I got an idea. You know, I have Virgin Galactic in stock.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we send Kramer and Kathy on the initial voyage and leave them there?
Well, that would be entertaining. I'd like to see it filmed if they did it.
And then they can set a whole new world, the two of them. I don't understand. Why did Kramer, you don't like Teleduct now, but at 280, yeah, you got to buy it. 280, now look at it. But
well, people forget that.
Pete, have you looked at PFE lately?
PFE, Pfizer.
PFE, oh my word, look at it.
Well, it certainly helped that Johnson & Johnson, you know, at least in terms of Pfizer, had that problem.
Can I tell you? Pete, Johnson & Johnson, which I also own, 162. It didn't even come off. All the bad news, look, it's 162.
Well, it shouldn't, you know, because I read in this weekend's Barron's that they were selling that at cost, okay, their vaccine. So it has no bearing, you know, on it doesn't hurt them, you know.
Yeah, and controlled data. You want to know about control?
Yeah, I used to have that.
After several years of losses in the early 1980s, in 1988, CDC started to leave the computer manufacturing business and sell the related parts of the company, a process that was completed in 1992 with the creation of Controlled Data Systems Incorporated. The remaining businesses of CDC currently operate as Ceridian, C-E-R-I-D-I-A-N.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I understand that. You remember, I'll tell you what stock is unbelievable. Reinvent itself, Michael Dell. Oh, my word. That company was left for dead?
Right.
Holy gee.
They took it private, now it's public again?
All I know is... At some point, we decided we'd never buy a Dell computer again. You know,
I mean, look at that stuff.
Well, they're spinning off. They're now going to spin off VMware. Okay, their cloud operation. Yeah,
I just watch it go up. I don't buy it. Listen to this, LP. What, remember Cray Research?
Oh yeah, supercomputers.
Yep, supercomputers. IP. Listen, I called 2 weeks early. You know what's going on in 2 weeks from today?
They're off.
CHDN Day.
CHDN, Churchill Downs.
Day. First Saturday of May, Pete. The greatest 2 minutes in sports.
Not last year, but now it's back.
Know what? They still made money last year.
Oh, sure.
One last thing, Pete. I've been held in hotels forever.
I know. I think you've been telling us about it for 30 years, and I don't do anything.
How does it make a new high? How? With that, I got my 30% capacity.
It's on the come.
How?
Well, they got all that money. Their employees are sitting on the sideline. They're collecting unemployment and everything else.
Hey, that guy said he doesn't understand this bargain. Oh, and listen, shout out to Vic. Vic is so far above my pay grade. Maybe I can employ Vic to teach me about the stock market someday.
There you go. Yes, if he's listening, he can come up with a side income there.
I'm the king of the dogs, Pete.
There you go.
All right, Pete, you're the greatest. Remember, 2 weeks from now, I'll see you.
You are, too. I'm glad we're still both here.
All right, buddy. Yeah, me too. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Have a good weekend.
Okay, we're going to go next to Vic in Venice, Florida. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. It's always interesting listening to Bill.
Exactly.
He's always good for at least a laugh or two. Earlier, one of the callers talked about lumber stocks. There is a great article in Barron's about lumber.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was really interesting was a comment that was made by some guy from BMO Capital Markets. He said that there's too many trees right now.
There's too many trees?
That's what he said. But at any rate, I have a couple of stocks that I wanted to ask you about.
Mm-hmm.
So first, I employed the Peter Lynch axiom of look around in your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And last several weeks, I saw a lot of Penske trucks in the neighborhood and the mm-hmm. highway. So I looked at Penske. I bought some Penske. I just wanted to ask you about a bullish objective because it didn't look like there was a real significant bullish objective on the point and figure.
What's the symbol on it?
P as in Paul, A as in Apple, G as in good.
He's also got quite the team at NASCAR, too, so stock close at 87.
What was the symbol on that?
PAG, Paul, Apple, P-A-G. George.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Paul, Apple, George. I didn't even come close.
Yeah. Been there.
All right, let's see. Penske. What the objective wouldn't be in terms of, what are you looking at? Stock charts there?
Yes, stock charts. Yep.
And did you, let me do it here real quick, hopefully quick, because we're getting close. PAG.
The pressure is on.
Yeah, because, there's two different counts on stock charts. And there's a breakout count, and you have to, and I forgot what the other one is, But, so change the way the objective is calculated on stock charts.
Okay.
And, I don't want to, take up your time, because you probably had something else you wanted to talk about. But I would change the objective on that, and see if you come up with something different. But, the chart looks great.
Well, what's the objective? What's the number?
No, it's 87.
Okay. No, that's what it closed at.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's on one particular.
Yeah, FinVis has got it at 84 as the price of target, so.
Yeah.
Rapid move. That'll
yeah. But anyway, yeah. I'm not able to quickly manipulate today here. So
another interesting aspect about the stock is that it increases its dividend by 1 cent every quarter, except for the one quarter during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and it goes back like several years. So I know you don't look at fundamentals too often, but the Ever. Fundamentals are great, and the PE is like 13 or 14. So,
are those Penske trucks? Is that all the New Yorkers moving to Florida?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all here.
Yeah. You got them.
They're all over the place. I'm sure that's the case.
Yeah.
The other stock I wanted to ask you about is Southern Copper. SCCO.
SCCO, huh?
Right.
Do. Close at 76.20. Yep.
I think copper prices have remained pretty strong,
They're stealing the copper statues at Forest Lawn, turning them in, so they're not getting very much for them, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after breaking down and looking terrible, in other words, it had good support in 71, blew right through down to 64, but now it has a price objective of 89. It gave a new buy signal at 74, and the 200 days back at 57, but the 50 days at 72. So it looks okay right now, it should go up and potentially challenge the old high in the at least 83 area, and the objective is 89. So looks pretty decent. I'd reevaluate it probably, maybe under 72.
Okay, great. Just one other sidelight question about, you talked about Coinbase before.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Coinbase will eat into the market share of Bitcoin, or will both be active?
No, because Coinbase is where you buy Bitcoin.
Right, but do you think that, I guess I know that that's the case.
Right.
Do you think people will sell out of Bitcoin and buy the Coinbase stock?
Not really, because what they did sell out of was the blockchain stocks and some of the competitors like Voyager up in Canada.
Right.
And that's why money was coming, because if you look at the blockchain stocks, they got killed. And I think a lot of money came out to buy Coinbase, but I don't think they're going to sell Bitcoin to buy Coinbase.
Yeah, I saw Anthony Scaramucci on CNBC on Friday, and he said he thinks Bitcoin's going to 100,000.
Yeah, short it. I don't think he's all together.
Don't listen to David. David doesn't understand the new world that's coming.
It is a new
world. China's already gone to a digital yuan.
Oh, that convinces me.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Communists are doing it. All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Good talking to you guys.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend there. You got a quick one in the chat
box? Yeah. Let's stay with the Coinbase stuff. Riot. Closed at 44.64.
Yeah,
somebody owns it.
Yeah, yeah. And once again, like I say, I think they all got killed, which made no sense because blockchain is what runs everything, you know. And
ask the Chinese, I'll tell you.
So, I mean, right now I think it's going to be an opportunity, but the point is where? You know, 200 days back at 18, 50 days at 51, so I'd like to see it get back. It's going to have a lot of resistance in 48, at 48. So, next support would be 40 and then 35. So you'd have to look at that. Are you willing to buy a little? If it dropped to 40, buy a little more, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, I do some research, but I think it got really hit with the Coinbase, coming out. So those are your levels. You could buy some at here, some at 40, some at 35, and then see what happens, but realize it is a speculation. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ice
is
cream
it our
man.
Music?
It's the ice cream man.
Is it our music?
Let's go
is
get
it?
Some ice cream. Anyway, we're down to the end of the show. As Willard always says, keep a little powder dry because it is kind of a mixed market out there, to say the least. There's a lot of movement back and forth. I think you have to have a little bit of everything just to cover yourself. A
lot of new highs.
Some growth, some value, some cyclical, so forth and so on, And you could have a nice little portfolio, and when one thing goes down, the other one goes up.
Well, that's why you got to be diversified.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You can't chase all one area right now or all the hot areas, so you have to be very careful. Didn't talk about Barron's, a great issue of Barron's this weekend, so if you get a chance, go read it. Till next week, take care.
Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.